Time Spent in Reconnaissance by Ted Albury.
Sergeant Murphy, port security.
Yes, sir. Is this the refugee from Gibraltar?
Yes, his name's Pruvo. No documents, just personal belongings in this bag.
Okay, I'll take him over, sir. Come along with me, Mr. Pruvo. Oh. Would you like a cup of tea before we go?
Where are we going?
To London. Oh. What about the tea?
I don't think so. What happens now?
Oh, they'd want a little chat with you, just routine stuff.
I want to join the Free French Army.
Oh, well, they'll sort all that out with you when they've checked you over.
What did they want to know?
Now, don't worry, Mr. Pruvo, they know what they're doing. Right, here's the car. Hop in. Oh, we'll stop for a snack on the way. I've got extra ration cards for both of us.
How long is he going to take it? Oh. Captain Palmer? Yes, Lieutenant Harvey's with me. Is it urgent? Okay, hold on. Sergeant McFarlane.
Thank you, sir. Harvey speaking. Well, when was this? Has the doctor seen him? Uh-huh. Well, is there a guard on his room in the sick bay? Yes, around the clock. Okay. The Greek slashed his wrists. He'll recover. They've got him in the sick bay.
Had you finished interrogating him?
Ah, near enough. He was planted on one of our networks by the Vichy French. He knew that we'd pulled his story to pieces.
Oh, does that mean you're free now to take on another case?
Yes.
Good. Ah, now, the one I want you to handle was sent through from Gibraltar. The name he gives is Jean-Paul Pruvo. Says he's a Belgian born in Bruges. Was working in Paris when the Germans came in. He lost his job and couldn't get another. Made his own way into Spain. Picked up by the Spanish police and stuck in Camp Miranda. Got a note out to our embassy people. Wants to join the Free French or the Belgians. Whoever wants him.
Any documents?
Nothing. Just the routine note from the embassy people in Madrid. They got him out and shoved him on a boat to Gibraltar. Landed at Cardiff yesterday.
Okay, I'll start on him tomorrow morning.
I'll probably want a court of inquiry about the Greek. Especially if he's a goner. They like to establish that we haven't beaten them up in the course of interrogation.
Can I have Fanny Officer Peyton as my archivist?
Yes, I'll tell her to see her this evening.
Is there a file on the Belgian?
Yes, well, there's nothing in it except the embassy note.
A good job we got the earlier bus, or we'd have been stranded in town.
It was a smashing film, Peter. Huh. And I love that Solomon, the way he plays it.
Now you've just got a crush on Bogart because he's got a croaky voice like dear old Palmer.
You're just jealous.
Not me, my girl. And by the way, I asked for you as my archivist tomorrow, and he's agreed. How about we have lunch together?
I'm sorry, I can't. I'm shopping in the lunch hour tomorrow.
I thought you went shopping yesterday.
Well, there's Daffers. Hey, Daphne! Wait for me, it's Julie.
All right, come on over.
Thanks for the flicks. See you tomorrow.
Which cell is he in?
You mustn't say cell.
Huh?
There was a part two order that they had to be called cubicles or just rooms. He's in 2A.
Is it wired up?
Yes.
Are you monitoring?
I am this morning. Depends on how long you take.
Okay, well, tell Sims to wheel him in.
Mr. Pruvo, sir.
I say, will Mr. Pruvo? Voulez-vous parler en anglais ou français?
Oh, it's okay in English, Lieutenant. I speak not bad English.
Cigarette?
Oh, thank you.
Where did you learn to speak English?
Well, my mother was English, and I had it at school, of course.
Have you ever been to England before?
A couple of times on day trips from Ostend when I was a kid.
How old are you?
27.
Date of birth?
23rd of October, 1915.
Okay.
Now, let me explain what we'll be doing. When anyone comes to this country without documents or without a visa, we have to decide whether they'll be allowed in or not. Now, we need to know why they've come, how they got here, and what they intend to do if we allow them to stay. So you understand, there's nothing personal in this, it's just routine. Okay?
Yes, Lieutenant.
How did you know I was a lieutenant?
Well, you got two things on your shoulder.
Do you know what the green colour means?
I think it means you're an intelligence officer.
Tell me about your job in Paris.
Oh, I worked in a cafe. Just odd jobs. Washing up, cleaning the place, that sort of thing.
And what was the name of the cafe?
Le Petit Lapin.
Where was it?
Near La Porte de Caillancourt, by the flea market.
How did you come to lose your job?
Oh, the patron was after my girlfriend. She was a waitress there. He just wanted me out of the way.
Tell me about the food situation in Paris.
Where's Julie?
She's gone into town. Handed over about 5 minutes ago. She'll be back for your stint after lunch.
What bus did she take?
Well, I think she catched a lift.
Who from?
I've no idea.
Thanks. Is that transport? Is Captain Palmer's car in the garage? I see. When did he leave? No, I just wanted to check if he was around. Thank you, Sergeant. So, you lost your job. Now, what made you decide to try and get to England?
Well, it's difficult getting a job in Paris if you haven't got a trade. I'd had my papers and my passport stolen. And that would mean trouble with the Germans if I'd registered for a job. I tried getting a job for a couple of weeks. I heard a free French broadcast on BBC, and I thought maybe that, or the free Belgians, would be a good idea.
Why did you think it'd be a good idea?
Well, I don't know. Better than hanging around Paris, I suppose.
And how did you go about contacting the resistance people?
I heard of a priest who could put you in contact with the resistance. He told me who to see.
And who did you see?
Oh, he was on the black market, selling coffee and sugar. He got a room just by Les Halles. I didn't like him much, and he didn't like me. I went back again, and there was another man and a woman. We talked quite a lot, but in the end, they said they only wanted Frenchmen, so they turned me down. Said if I wanted to fight the Germans, I'd better go to England and join the Free French. They gave me some tips on how to do it.
Tell me about the priest.
What priest?
The one who told you how to contact the black market chap. What church was he at?
Oh, he's not at a church. He works with the down and outs by the Seine. They call him Father Pierre.
Tell me about him. What's he look like?
Well, just an ordinary sort of fella. About 50, I should think. Medium height. Brown eyes, dark hair, sallow complexion. Just an average sort of man.
What order did he belong to?
I don't know.
Are you a Catholic?
Well, yes, but I haven't been in a church since I was a kid.
Okay. Well, tomorrow we'll talk about your journey. Try and remember all you can for when we talk.
Sugar?
Oh, yes, if you've got some.
Special interrogator's ration.
Well, did you get it all on the wire recorder?
Of course.
What did you think of him?
Hard to decide at this stage. What did you think?
Well, there's a lot I didn't like. I mean, how does a spiv like that know what insignia a British Army lieutenant wears? Or that green is for intelligence?
Maybe somebody told him.
He's been in solitary. And the guards aren't supposed to talk to detainees.
They probably do, though. Anything else?
He didn't seem to know much about the priest. And you got both the priest and the black market man very vague. And, well, no real identification.
Well, you always say that a perfect story is suspicious. Maybe a vague one means it's true.
Did you get your shopping done?
Yes, thanks.
How did you get there and back in the lunch hour?
I think you've forgotten who I am. I'm not one of your suspects being interrogated.
I'm Fanny Officer Peyton, 279041. British subject and free to do what the hell I please without giving you or anyone else any explanation whatsoever. Understand?
I'm sorry. Well, I'd better be off.
Don't get huffy, Peter. I like you and I admire the way you do your job, but...
I know what you mean. I apologise. How about I take you down to the coast on Sunday? We can relax, have a meal.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's get back to where you decided to come to England without help from the resistance. Tell me about that.
About what?
How you decided what to do. How you decided how to get here.
The black market fellow said that down south, at the Spanish frontier, there were men who would take you over the mountains into Spain. He said they were mainly Basques, smugglers and shepherds who know the secret pathways. Most of them were in Perpignan. So I got on a train, went down there, found a guide, and he took me over the frontier.
Go on.
The Spanish police picked me up and I was taken to the camp.
What camp was this?
Camp Miranda.
Then what?
I paid a guard to smuggle out a letter to the British Embassy in Madrid. They arranged for me to leave the camp and a chap escorted me to Gibraltar. They put me on a boat and it brought me to Cardiff. I was taken over by a security sergeant and brought here.
There's no choice, really. You'll have to go in under 18B. It's a pity, but that's the way it goes. Now, what's next, Julie?
Lieutenant Harvey's case. Jean-Paul Prouveau, Belgian refugee.
Oh, what do you think, Peter?
It's a bit early. I haven't got down to the hard stuff yet. There's a lot of holes in his story.
Do you think he's a plant?
That's a bit airy-fairy, and he's come up with the mystery priest, Father Pierre. I met him twice before from Apfer Stooges. And we've checked out with SOE. They haven't got any priests on their escape lines, and neither have the RAF.
And the descriptions are always the same. Nothing distinctive, always terribly average.
What sort of fellow is he?
Bit rough and ready. Smart, but... well, not the kind I see as risking his skin to join the Free French.
The black market chap with a room near Les Halles, who he said turned him down, could be authentic. Several black market types were part of one of the SOE's networks in Paris. But the Gestapo arrested them months ago. They may think that we don't know that yet and have told him to use it to add a bit of reality to his story.
Well, how much longer do you think you'll need?
At least 4 days more, maybe a week.
Okay, book Peter down for another 7 days, Julie.
Sleep well, Monsieur Prouveau?
Not bad.
Right, let's go back a bit, Prouveau. You said you took a train from Paris to Perpignan. Now, what station did you leave from in Paris?
I don't remember. I think Gare de Lyon.
You're sure of that?
I'm not sure.
What time did the train leave Paris?
In the morning.
Yes, but what time?
About 11.
And what time did you get to Perpignan?
About 6 in the evening.
What date was this?
June 14th.
And what day of the week was that?
A Friday.
Were there any identity checks on the train?
No.
Excuse me. Yes? Okay, I'll be out.
You know why I rang?
The railway station. He'd have had to take a train from the Gare d'Austerlitz and not the Gare de Lyon.
Yes, but it's not just that.
Huh?
According to our records, there were no trains to Perpignan from Paris on the 12th, 13th and 14th of June. There'd been an RAF raid on Clermont-Ferrand on the 11th, and the lines to Perpignan were out of use until the 15th. And for another 10 days, passengers disembarked north of Clermont and were bussed through the town, and another train took them down south.
Is it confirmed?
Two different SOE networks, the RAF and an economics report.
What the hell's economics got to do with it?
The price of citrus fruits in Paris went up for a month at that time. That always happens when Spanish oranges and lemons can't be sent by rail through Perpignan. The courts will accept it as evidence. That's been established already.
Well, looks like I've got to give them the full treatment. Oh, can you get the model of Camp Miranda for me? After lunch will do. Now, before we go on, is there anything you thought of that you'd like to alter in what you've told me so far?
No.
You're sure of that?
Quite sure.
Right. Now, tell me about your time in the camp in Spain.
There's nothing much to tell. It was just a prison.
Were you in a cell with other people?
No, I was on my own.
Describe yourself.
Painted white, about 3 metres by 2 metres, a bed, a pot, and that was all.
Was there a window in the cell?
Yes, a very small one.
Could you see out of it?
Yes.
Tell me what you could see.
A couple of palms and some purple flowers and a flag on a pole, the Spanish flag.
Anything else?
No.
And you were there for almost 3 weeks?
About that.
What was the weather like?
Hot and sunny.
Okay. I'll talk to you again this afternoon, and then you've got a day off tomorrow, and we'll start again on Monday. Just one more thing. Let me take the cover off this. It's a scale model of Miranda Camp. Would you come over here and show me where your cell was?
Here. This one.
You're quite sure of that?
Yes.
Sit down, Mr. Pruvo. Let's go back to your train journey from Paris.
I've told you all I can remember already.
Let's see what else you can remember. How many people were with you in the carriage?
I was on my own.
All the way?
Yes.
Did you sleep on the journey?
I think I did have a short nap.
Did you have to change trains anywhere?
No. It was the direct line from Paris to Perpignan.
Okay. Well, that's enough for today. I'll talk to you again on Monday. See if you can remember anything you haven't yet told me.
It was a fantastic lunch. Fresh eggs. And those lovely strawberries. Mm.
Did you go over this morning's stuff again?
Yes.
What did you think of him?
He's lying about the journey. The wrong station in Paris could be just ignorance or stupidity. But the journey's impossible. Sounds like our old Abwehr friend Lieutenant Kalb up to his tricks again.
Well, maybe he got his dates wrong.
Could be. You'd better start pinning him down. If he is one of Kalb's stooges, he won't know what really happens on the mountain. They'll have shown him the photograph of Jose and given him a description. Kalb never bothers to take them inside Camp Miranda. They just see it from his car. That's why he gave you all that flannel about what he could see from his cell. Mm. You can see all that from the camp commandant's office. That's where Kalb would have taken him for a cup of coffee.
Yes. I don't have much doubt that he's a phony. But I've got to get enough evidence to convince the committee.
Peter?
Hmm?
Can I ask you something? Something personal?
Sounds ominous. But sure. Go ahead.
Why did you check on me the other day when I went shopping?
I wasn't checking. I just wanted to ask you out for a coffee.
Palmer told me that you checked on him, too, with the transport sergeant. Why? Why do you do those things? It's kind of creepy.
I'm sorry. I guess I'd do it automatically, you know? Like I was working.
It's horrible.
Okay. Am I forgiven?
Yes. But don't do it again. Please.
Well, now, anything you want to alter in what you've told me so far?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Tell me about the guide taking you over the mountain.
We started when it was just getting dark. He said he was a smuggler. His name was Jose, and he smuggled uncustomed tobacco.
It took what did he look like?
Dark complexion, black hair, short. I'd say he was a Basque. More Spanish than French.
How much did you pay him?
5,000 francs.
Carry on.
It took us about 6 hours to get to the top. He showed me the white marker stone of the frontier, and I went over. Alone. He stayed on the French side.
Did he say anything before you left? Wish you good luck or anything like that?
No, we didn't speak at all.
Where were you born?
I don't understand.
Where were you born?
Bruges, in Belgium.
When did you go to Paris?
The summer of 1937.
What was your mother's name?
Bridges. Mary Bridges.
How did you get into France without documents, without a passport?
I had a passport. It was stolen from my lodgings when I worked at the cafe.
Have you ever been arrested for any kind of offence?
No, never.
Are you quite sure?
Of course I'm sure. What do you take me for?
The guide, Jose. How did you find him?
I asked about guides in a bar that the black market man in Paris mentioned to me. They sent me to a butcher's shop in one of the side streets.
And what was the name of the street?
I don't remember. It was a cobbled street.
But you actually went to the shop?
Yes.
Describe it to me, what it looked like.
Small, a shop window, three stories, blue shutters round the top windows, glass door. The building was painted white.
A very detailed description. What was it like inside?
I don't remember. Just a typical butcher's shop.
But you remember so well what it looks like from the outside.
I stood there a long time before I went in. I wanted to make sure it was the right place.
Was that your first day in Perpignan?
Yes.
But you didn't arrive until the evening, you said?
I meant the first full day.
How much did your ticket cost from Paris to Perpignan?
I don't remember.
Where did you stay in Perpignan?
I had a room over a restaurant.
What restaurant was that?
Le Flèche d'Or.
They're not listed in Michelin's letting rooms.
It was a favour. How do you know without checking that they don't let rooms?
We know everything that goes on in Perpignan. We have people there. Resistance people who keep us informed. Oh, by the way, where are your parents now?
They're dead.
Both of them?
Yes.
Have you got any relations living?
No.
What was the name of the cafe you worked in Paris?
I already told you, Le Petit Lapin.
Monsieur Prouveau, I'll be talking to you again tomorrow. Meantime, I want you to think very seriously about everything you've told me. If you want to change anything, it's no problem. Now think about what I'm saying very carefully. It could make a lot of difference to your position. How about a gin?
Not for me, thanks. Let's go over my notes on Prouveau.
Okay.
The soft stuff first. Probably lies, but not provable. The wrong railway station from Paris to Perpignan. The vague priest, Father Pierre. No reference points. Both parents dead. No relatives. No fixed address anywhere. No passport. No documentation. No idea of what the butcher shop looks like inside in Perpignan. SOE haven't used that butcher shop as a safe house for nearly 4 months. Well, the Germans won't know that, and you know what Lieutenant Kalb is like. He shows them a picture or walks them down to have a look at it from the street. Now the definite lies. He lied about the train journey because he couldn't have made it on the day he said, or any day around that date. Again, it fits in with Lieutenant Kalb, who always drives them down from Paris to Perpignan. Then we come to José, the guide. José is genuine enough, and probably the Germans leave him alone so that they can use his name for their agents' background stories. But we know from SOE that José and all the other guides take them to right within a kilometre of the frontier and then demand more money to take them the last bit to the border. Finally, Camp Miranda. The description he gave of what you can see inside the camp is accurate, but no cells have windows, and what he describes could only be seen from the camp commandant's office. That's all I've got.
Well, that's enough for the legal people, isn't it?
I should think so. It's hard to tell.
Well, I think I can break him down tomorrow. He's getting worried. I could tell that today.
What are you going to do when this is all over?
You mean the war?
Yes.
I don't really know. Maybe I'll stay on in the army.
What did you do before you joined up?
When I came down from Cambridge, I was working in the local library for about 6 months before I was called up.
Do you like interrogating people?
Depends who they are. I mean, if they're trying it on, like this Belgium chap, I like breaking them down, but some of them are pretty boring, as you know.
The innocent ones, you mean?
Yes, I suppose that's it. What What did you do before you joined up?
I joined up straight from school. Benenden.
Oh, very posh. And what are you going to do when it's all over?
Have four children. Two boys, two girls, a golden retriever and a thatch cottage in the country.
You're a romantic.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Guess all right for girls.
Why not for men?
Men have to deal with reality, the real world.
What is the real world?
It's where people lie and cheat. Well, you have to look out for yourself, make sure they don't put one over on you.
God, you really believe that, don't you?
Of course I do.
Tell me about your parents. Where do they live?
Well, my father's a bank manager, lives in Leicester. Well, just outside.
And your mother?
She's just a housewife. Very beautiful. Very talented.
Talented at what?
She plays the piano. Could have been a concert pianist.
What's her name?
This is beginning to sound like an interrogation.
Sorry, I didn't mean it to be. I was just curious. Anyway, it's time we were going.
Good evening. Can I speak to Julie, please? Julie Payton?
I'm sorry. She's out for the evening. Do you want to leave a message?
No, that's okay, thanks. Shimkins?
Sir?
Have you seen Captain Palmer in the mess tonight?
Oh, he's not in tonight, sir. Signed out about 6 o'clock. Gone up to town, I understand. Booked a pool car for the night.
Oh, thanks, Simpkins. Yeah, I'll have a whiskey.
No, there's none left, sir, I'm afraid. Too near the end of the month.
Oh, God.
How about a gin and lemon?
Yes, that'll do.
I hate daytime raids.
Why?
At night, it's like they're sneaking in under cover of the darkness. But raiding us in daylight makes it seem as though we haven't any defences and they can do what the hell they like.
Oh, that's probably a false alarm, anyway. Or just a recce by a Messerschmitt down on the coast, nosing around the radar installations.
Did you have a girlfriend back home?
Nobody special.
Did you go to dances and parties a lot?
No, I was working.
Were you happy as a child?
Why are you asking all this?
I'd like to know. You're my friend, so I'd like to know about you.
I'm sorry I was sharp. I'm glad you said I'm your friend.
Were you an only child?
Yes.
Maybe that's why you're like you are.
And how am I?
You're a loner. And sometimes I think you're lonely as well. If you'd had an unhappy love affair, that could have done it. If it isn't that, then somebody must have done something to you.
Another amateur psychologist from the interrogation course, eh?
No, not really. Anyway, I think you'll be a nice man when you're a bit older and you learn to trust people.
Why is trusting people always considered a virtue?
Well, isn't it?
Well, I don't see it as good or bad. Why get involved so that you have to decide one way or the other? I mean, just be independent. Then you won't be disappointed.
That means you'd never love someone.
Why?
Loving someone means putting your head on the block and giving them the chopper, hoping they won't ever use it.
Ah, there she blows. Too short to be a raid.
I guess we ought to be going back.
Can I kiss you?
You don't ask girls if you can kiss them, you do. Well, well. Lesson number one.
Sit down, Prover. No, don't smoke. Put it out in the ashtray. That's right. Now, do you want to change anything you've told me?
No.
Why have you been lying to me?
Who says I've been lying? I haven't lied to you.
Are you going to talk, Prover?
I don't understand. I have been talking.
I mean the truth, my friend. Not the pack of lies that Lieutenant Kolb told you to try on us.
I don't know any Lieutenant Kolb. Who's he?
Tall, quite good looking. You were with him at that nice house in Passy. Stands in its own grounds, guarded by Feldpolizei. It's where you had your training. The codes, dead letter drops, recognition of military uniforms and insignia, aircraft recognition, current conditions in England, and finally, the little fairy story you've been feeding me while we've been talking.
You're making this up.
I'm not, my friend. Lieutenant Kolb is not very bright. He's tried that little scenario many times before, and it's never worked, and he must know that by now. But why should he care? It's you who has to face the consequences, not him. Tonight he'll be at his usual table at that club he took you to as a treat the night before he drove you down to Perpignan.
You couldn't prove all this.
No, but I can, my friend. Enough to deal with you, anyway. You've got to remember that we've heard the same old story before. It's not new. You must be the fifth or sixth stooge who's come over with exactly the same story. We dealt with them, and we'll deal the same way with you. You're in deep, deep trouble, my friend.
What's going to happen to me?
Depends on how you cooperate.
How did you know about Kolb?
He always sends his stooges over the same way. You didn't know what station you went from because you never took a train. He took you by car because he liked showing off that bloody Citroen of his. No guide ever just takes you over the frontier, like you said. They screw you for another 5,000 francs just before you get to the top. And you've got no idea what the cells are like in Camp Miranda because you were never in one. There are no windows in any of the cells. Kolb just showed you the outside, hmm? Oh, he always does it the same old way, despite the fact that we've already pulled in five of his stooges with the same old story. So, what sort of information did he want you to send back to him, hmm?
Information about army units and RAF airfields.
And how is it to go back? Through the tobacconist's shop by Shepherd's Market?
Yes.
What was the code?
A book from Holborn Library. A German translation of Gone with the Wind. From Winde verweht.
Did he tell you what would happen if he got caught?
He said I'd be a prisoner of war.
You're a civilian, not a soldier, my friend, a spy. Only members of the armed forces are prisoners of war. There's no Geneva Convention covering spies.
I'm not a spy, Lieutenant. Just a stupid man.
How did they get hold of you? Had you been thieving, or was it black market deals?
Black market. Food. And shoes.
You got picked up by the police, they found you spoke English and handed you over to Kolb. If you cooperated, you didn't go to jail, yes?
Yes.
Where did you learn your English? It wasn't just at home and at school, was it?
I lived here for 5 years before the war. I worked here.
Doing what?
Selling dresses and shoes. Then I was a barman in a pub. I went back in 38.
Back where?
To Paris.
You're not Belgian, are you? You're French.
Yes, I'm French.
From Marseille, yes?
How do you know that?
You look like it and you sound like it.
So what happens to me now?
Well, you'll be tried by a court on charges of espionage. And I'm sure that you know already what the penalty can be.
Tell me.
The death penalty. Hanging.
But I haven't done anything.
Don't be stupid, Pruvo. You were trained at an APFER spy school, and you came over here to spy. Just because you were caught before you did anything doesn't mean a thing.
They really do that? Hang people? Is that what you did to the others that Kolb sent over here?
Not all of them.
What decided whether they were hung or not?
Two of them decided to cooperate with us.
And what's that mean, cooperate?
It means doing what we tell them.
What would I have to do?
You'd send messages back to Berlin like they told you to.
You mean I'd be set free?
No, you'd be confined to a special place. A house in the country.
So how could I get stuff to send back to them?
We'd provide that and release you under supervision to pass it over.
The Germans would kill me when they get here.
Well, they'd kill me too, but they won't be coming. You know that as well as I do. If they were coming at all, they'd have come last year.
I'll cooperate then.
They may not want you.
I'll speak to the people concerned. Hi, Daphne. Where's Julie?
Ah, she asked me to give you her apologies. I took over from her. She's had a call. Her mother's ill. She's gone to see her.
Ah. Where's her mother?
I don't know. At home, I expect. Do you want to go over your transcript?
No. No, not now. Is that transport?
Yep.
I'm looking for Captain Palmer. Is his car there?
No, he left about 20 minutes ago.
Was he able to contact Fanny Officer Peyton before he left, do you know?
Who was that bint who went off with Captain Palmer?
That blonde one. Julie
yeah.
Peyton.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yes, I think he did. She was with him when he left.
Was she upset about the news?
Who is this?
Lieutenant Harvey.
Oh, I don't know about any news, Lieutenant. She seemed okay to me.
Thanks. Lying bitch. Right.
It was good of you to give me a lift.
Well, that's okay. How's Peter Harvey getting on with his Belgian?
I think he's beginning to crumble.
Well, Peter or the Belgian?
The Belgian, you idiot.
How do you get on with our bright young man?
Okay. I quite like him. But he seems a very sort of clenched up fellow.
What does that mean?
He's... I don't know how to describe it. Suspicious.
Well, that's probably because of his job. We train interrogators to be suspicious. He's trained to accept that everybody tells lies, and it's his job to find out what they tell lies about.
I was having a drink with him the other day. Just chatting. I asked him what he did before the war, what he was going to do afterwards. Asked him about his mother and father. And he implied that I was interrogating him. And he said what you just said, that everybody tells lies and you have to watch out.
Well, he's right, of course. Most people do tell lies. Small lies, white lies, social lies. Making themselves a bit more important than they really are, or richer, or talented. What did he say about his father?
He said he was a bank manager. In Leicester, I think he said.
And his mother?
Oh, just that she was very beautiful and a very talented pianist.
Was that when he snapped at you?
Yes, I think it was.
Take a tip from me. I should leave mother out of the social chat in future.
But why? He's obviously very fond of her. What is it?
I shouldn't really tell you this. And keep it strictly to yourself. No girlish chatter in the Fanny Mess, understood?
Sounds awful. Of course I won't talk about it.
Mama Harvey walked out on her husband and son when the son was 8 years old. She wasn't beautiful, but she was pretty. She was a chorus girl before she married, and she went off with the manager of a touring repertory company. He never appeared on the stage. She was just his mistress. He threw her out 2 years later. She was passed around the third-rate theatre companies for 3 or 4 years and ended up in a unit for alcoholics in St. Albans. Literally ended up. She died there.
Oh, terrible. Does he know all this?
Oh, yeah, of course he knows.
God, no wonder he made up that story.
You mean no wonder he lied?
If it is a lie, it's a forgivable lie.
Well, he could have just said she was dead.
Yes, but...
But what?
He wanted to make her seem okay.
Need it have been so ornate, so far from the truth?
You're awfully hard on him.
I'm not. I was just testing your reactions. Character prepping.
What did you find?
A generous mind. A sympathetic heart. You'll do.
Here we go. Two more traffic lights and we're there. Let's hope it was all a false alarm.
Is kippers or dried egg, Captain Palmer?
I'll have the kipper and coffee, please.
You, sir?
I'll have porridge first, then kipper and tea.
Right, sir.
You look as though you didn't get much sleep last night, Peter.
I didn't. But I broke down Pruvo yesterday. I did my report last night. And how was your evening?
Not improved by your telegram.
Oh, she showed it to you, did she?
Not exactly, but I read it.
Well, that was a bit naughty, wasn't it, reading other people's private mail?
Was it really necessary, Peter? The people at a local post office will have read it. What were those elegant words? Dear Julie, you're a lying bitch and I've had enough. Peter Harvey. Charming.
She is a lying bitch.
You should know by now from your training, my boy, that everybody tells lies about some area of their lives. You, me, and the rest of humanity. Why kick her in the teeth so crudely?
She asked for it.
How? She didn't tell any lies?
She had a date with me for yesterday evening and she went swanning off with you instead. She even left the archiving to Daphne. Just left a phony message that her mother was ill.
She left an apology with Daphne. I was there when Daphne took her.
Oh, I'm sure you were. Much amused, no doubt. But she won't stick with you any more than with me. A captain may be a better catch than a lieutenant, but there's plenty of majors and a half colonels on the loose.
Maybe it's time you had a change of job, Peter.
What?
Your work seems to be getting mixed up with your private life.
What's that mean?
You have to spend your working hours suspecting people, looking for their lies, digging holes for them to drop into. You're beginning to do the same in your private life.
You mean I should be the normal male sucker with girls?
No, I mean that the people you interrogate are already suspect. Your friends aren't suspects. Or shouldn't be.
For God's sake, she broke a date with me to go swanning off with you. If you don't really believe me, ask her.
I can't, unfortunately. She's not here. I wouldn't ask her anyway.
Well, where the hell is she? She's got no leave, do you?
You could end up quite a bright fellow, Harvey, but you've got a lot to learn. Learn the lesson that's staring you in the face right now.
What lesson?
That if you want to find out if somebody's telling you lies, you actually have to find out, not just assume that they're lying because it suits you to think so.
I don't get it.
Her mother was already dead when we got there. Julie's staying on for the funeral.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you go up and see her? She's much in need of a shoulder to cry on.
God, I couldn't face her, not after that bloody telegram.
Here. Take it. There's your telegram. She never saw it.
What?
I took it from the boy and opened it in case it was something that needed dealing with. I saw what it said, and I saw it was from you. I thought it might be better to keep it. You can take a 48-hour pass and a warrant. Get it from the clerk and I'll sign it. And if it helps you, I never was a rival. I'm married, happily married. Julie knew that. She had a look in my personal file. And she met my wife the other day when I took her to town. Always remember that old army precept, Peter. Time spent in reconnaissance is seldom wasted.
That was Time Spent in Reconnaissance by Ted Albury. Starring Michael Cochrane as Lieutenant Peter Harvey, Isabel Amiez as Flying Officer Julie Payton, Richard Kay as Captain Palmer, Stuart Organ as Jean-Paul Provost, and Miranda Forbes as Flying Officer Daphne Cooper. Other parts were played by Alex Jennings, Pauline Siddle, and Brett Usher. The director was Christopher Venning.